Many years ago, when I was still a reporter at ENCA, I did a story on a woman who's known as the Mother Teresa of Ocean View because of the work she does with animals in the troubled community. Her name is Ingrid Destoury, and she's a remarkable woman. I was introduced to her by Corrine Wilson, who for many years now has walked the streets of Ocean View rescuing countless animals and often their owners with Ingrid. Corrine has now written a book about their journey together, and reading it is an incredibly emotional and powerful experience. It's gripping and it's a quick read, but at the same time, I almost wish I'd slowed down and savored it chapter by chapter, because each character almost warrants their own book. Obas and Puppy, the green balaclava man, and Leroy, they're all fascinating stories on their own. But enough from me. Let's talk now to the two incredible women behind the book. I'm joined on the line by Corrine Wilson and Ingrid Destoury. Corrine, what inspired you to write the book?
Hi, Amy. Firstly, thank you so much for giving Ingrid and myself this opportunity. It's an amazing experience. Thank you. So, to be honest, I actually had never thought of ever writing a book before. And if someone had to have said to me 6 years ago, you're going to write a story, I would have just laughed, because I think the closest I ever got to writing was maybe back in the 80s when I went through my heavy metal stage. I was writing really bad, sad poems. So before I started writing, I'd actually been with Ingrid for about a year. And I felt this incredible privilege to have been given this opportunity and to have been given this glimpse into a world that I never actually realized or never thought existed. You know, I obviously had my own preconceived ideas. I was challenged on every single thing I thought. And I remember I sat with Ingrid in the car, you know, one day, and I don't know what she said or what had happened, but I turned to her and I just said to her, you know, I'm going to write your story. And it was literally like a bolt of lightning. I can't even explain it. And I remember Ingrid looked at me and she, you know, she scrunched up her nose and she was completely unconvinced. And to be honest, I think she's, you know, she was completely unconvinced all the way up until I gave her the hard copy and I said, look, this is the story. And That's basically how it started, yeah.
I've got goosebumps now, as I did have for most of the book, I must say. This book has so many layers. It's not just a story about your work with animals, is it?
Well, originally, you know, I thought that the story was going to be about animals and their rescue. But, you know, I soon realized, you know, walking the streets with Ingrid, that there's so much more to the story. And, you know, as an animal lover, I always considered people the enemy. But I quickly realized that, you know, behind every broken animal, there's a broken person. And, you know, just because someone can speak, it doesn't necessarily guarantee them a voice. And, you know, animals, they provided this unbelievable conduit for conversation. And, you know, it was through these conversations with Ingrid, you know, sitting in the backyard, sitting on paint and talking to people I'd never, ever thought I would ever speak to before. And just hearing their stories. And finding the compassion in their stories. And I think that was one of the greatest things, you know, through this book is just never knowing where the story would take me. Mm. Every single page that you turn in the book was a new page for Ingrid and I, because we had absolutely no idea how the story would go. I mean, I had a writer once say to me, you know, there needs to be an arc in a story. There needs to be a beginning and a middle and an end. And I said to her, well, I had no idea. I didn't know this is a true story. It's a collection of many, many voices and memoir. And the story just needed to unravel as it unraveled. So, as I said, you know, every page that the reader turns was a new page, a new experience for us.
One of the things I took away from the book, Corrine, was that your friendship and your journey with Ingrid have led to much healing in your own life with regards to your past.
You know, I think, you know, I'm obviously a white woman. And Ingrid's a colored lady. And I think, you know, when we first met, we obviously had no idea how the story would change our lives. And, you know, originally, you know, in the beginning, you know, we sort of just did our things. But in animal welfare, when you're dealing with crisis after crisis, and also amazing feeling of rescuing an animal and seeing, you know, beautiful things transpire. But through those experiences and through those emotions, you know, we got to talk to one another. And it was so interesting because we created the safe space between us. And often, you know, we would have an experience out in the streets and it would send me a message in the middle of the night. And then it would just become this conversation between us. And you know, we slowly discovered that although our lives are outside seem so different, and so, you know, we actually were so much more similar and shared so many similar childhood memories and experiences. And I think it was through those conversations that we really got to find a lot of healing, because neither of us had ever sort of spoken about it before.
Ingrid, I want to turn to you now briefly, and your description in the book about when you first realized that you wanted to help animals as a small child is both painful to read and beautiful. Tell us about that moment.
Hi, Amy. Hello. Thank you. I was about 6-7 years old, and as in the book, I said that my stepfather, he was like Hitler, worse than Hitler. He was very cruel, and we had two German shepherds, and the dogs was always so scared of him. When he comes home, they will go and hide, and I will stand and watch. You know, I was still very small, and then he'll come home if the dogs are naughty. He'll beat them up with a hose pipe, and I'll just go, and I almost want to cry. I'll go and sit with him.
It's okay.
And cry with him because, you know, he's beating up the dogs with a hose pipe. And that's how he was like that. Sorry, I'm crying now. And then I just one day I just got so upset and I ran into my room. And my granny gave me a doll when I was like 4 or 5 years old in Cape Town. My granny from England. It was a walkie-talkie doll I'll never forget. And I ran and hid under the bed with matches, and I just burnt my walkie-talkie doll. And then also he got furious and he gave me a hiding over that also. That is why I grew up like I am today over animals. Because that is how I grew up with him.
I'm going to give you a moment, Ingrid, to catch your breath after that emotional account. Corinne, as a white woman, it would have been understandable if you'd sort of marched into the troubled community of Ocean View wanting to fix it. But I think key to your success there has been your lack of judgment and rather an approach of trying to understand and connect with people there.
I think that, you know, originally, and I think the reader can feel it in the book, is that I did go in there with judgment. You know, I went in there with this idea that, you know, I was going to fix it, and all I would do is I would just take the animal away. If I saw an animal in distress, I would just take it away. But I quickly realized that, you know, Ingrid and I walked a very careful, precarious line where we had to not only protect the animal, but protect ourselves as well. And I think that, you know, all the plans I thought I had, as maybe coming from a background of privilege, had to change, and I had to adapt to the environment that I was in. And, you know, but in that experience, it actually showed me this unbelievable humanity that exists. Because when you let go of judgment, you know, you tend to kind of, sorry, there goes the phone. When you let go of judgment and you just hear the story, someone actually said to me that, how would I describe this book in one sentence? And how I would describe it is, it's the story behind the photograph that angers you. And by saying what I mean by that is that, you know, there's always a backstory to everything that might anger you. There's a backstory. And I think this experience walking the streets with Ingrid allowed me to see that backstory.
Ingrid, you live amidst gangsters and drug dealers. We've seen another horrible weekend in Ocean View this weekend. And yet you don't ever seem to let fear get in the way of your work. Are you not ever afraid?
No, I'm not afraid of them. Because they have a lot of respect for me. Mm. Because they know when they see me coming down the road walking, and then I'll ask them, hello. Then they'll say, hello, Ma. Can it, Ma? Then they'll talk to the goeie vrou. They'll tell me and I'll come in. Because I'm just there for the animals. I'm not there for them, the gangsters or guns and things. They know me very well. I even used to tell Corinne, come Corinne, then Corinne will be there. And I said, you don't have to be scared when you're with me. You walk around here with me in Ocean View, don't be scared, because they all have a lot of respect for me. Because they know Auntie Ingrid is only here for the animals. I don't interfere with them. I just do my work. I am here for the animals. They know it. That's why I've got, I have no fear of them.
You talk in the book about your dream of one day opening a restaurant and how you had to eventually let go of that dream. And Corrine mentioned in the book that in Ocean View, fear is a curfew. Is there currently a culture of fear there?
Yes, at the moment there is a lot of fear. Now everybody is just in the houses because of this guy that is shot. At the moment, yes, there's a lot of fear in Ocean View now because of the gangsters shooting at one another. You know, the gangsters.
Mm.
And it's very quiet now, intense in Ocean View. So I had a dream of trying to open up a restaurant, but there's too much guns and gangsters now. I won't worry to open up that restaurant anymore.
In the book, we learn a little bit about a group of boys called the Naughty Boys, but you don't go into great detail. Tell us about the work that you're currently doing with the Naughty Boys, Ingrid.
Oh, yes, the Naughty Boys. Why I say that the Naughty Boys, they used to do dog fights. And I've been on them almost every day. I'll walk past them and then they'll say, "Daar gaan Auntie Ingrid, stick you on the weg." Then they'll be sitting at the mobile shop with the dogs. And one day, I went up to them with a bowl of dog food. And I told them, "Why is this dog so thin? Why don't you stop doing what you are doing dog fighting?" Then they'll just all sit and look at me so cross, and, you know, and then I'll talk to them, but they will always back chat me, be rude to me. But I kept on with them and I kept on with them until I've got three of them now by me. And I spoke to them, I asked them, "Don't you want to come and help me build kennels? I've got a lot of wood, I've got everything there. Will you come and help me and build kennels?" And the three of them looked at one another and they had a smile on their face. The next day, the one boy came to me and he said, "Auntie, it auntie nie werk vir my nie." I said, "Yeah, wat wel?" "Dis wat?" So he said, "Kan ek jou die doggy poo opkom tel in die yard?" I said, "Yeah." And then the next day, then there was another two of them. So I've got all three of them by me now, building kennels, helping me wash dogs. And they are gone down now, but they're out of the dog fighting because I'm busy with them at my house. And they are quite good boys now. They're not so naughty boys anymore. They used to be bad. They used to, you know, say bad things to me. And if they see me coming on and they're doing a dog fighting, then the one boy will ride down the road, up and down, and then they'll say, "He command Ingrid, he command Ingrid." Then I'll go up in the mountain and tell the guys, "He come out to Ingrid," and as I'm coming up, they'll run away. But I've got three of them now, and all they needed was love and attention. I even bought them shoes for Christmas. I labored them shoes, all three of them. Oh. And that's all I could do for them. I don't have money to buy them Christmas clothes. But they're good boys now.
And they're little, aren't they?
Yeah, the youngest one, that's now, like, from the last time I saw him, he was like about 10. And I gave him even the birthday party. Two of them. I gave them birthday parties in my yard. And they're nice boys now. The one boy, he's got like a Mandela face. He's got a nice little round Mandela face. If you can see his face and his nice teeth, he's got, he's cute. And that's why I call him Mandela face.
So through your work with animals, you're helping people too.
Excuse me?
Through your work with the animals, you are now helping people too.
Yes, yes. That was all they needed was love and attention. They don't get that love at home because the youngest one, mother and father, are on drugs. And that's how it is, the other two also. So they don't get that love and attention. They every day by my house, they sit with me and my husband and with my dogs. If I go out, we take them with. They are really quite good boys now, and they're learning fast. So one said to me, he's now 15, "And Ingrid, ek kan nou hok bou al ek my eie," and he shows me how he's building the kennel. Yeah.
Back to you, Corinne. One of the reviews of the book that I read put it so beautifully, saying this book is like a stark grey courtyard where beautiful single flowers somehow manage to push through the hard concrete. Without giving too much away, the book does end on a note of hope for the community. Can you tell us about that?
Amy, so, you know, this because the story is completely true. I mean, I joke with people and say I'm not a good enough writer to make things up. You know, everything in it is, you know, nothing's been sanitized. You know, it's hard hitting. It's raw. And I think it gives insight into a community that many people don't know about. And my greatest hope is that it creates more understanding and empathy. With regards to hope, you know, there is hope throughout the story, because without hope, you know, we don't have anything really. And reads the afterwards. Yeah.
Sorry, we lost you again there. You were saying, okay, without hope, we have nothing.
Yeah. And I just, you know, towards the end, at the end of the book, there it's beautiful. And I hope everyone, you know, reads the afterward, because I think your hearts will soar, because there is so much joy and there's hope all around us. Amy, do you mind if I thank someone online? Is that all right?
Go for it.
I would just like to thank Corina Brink. I can't pronounce her surname.
No, can I.
She was absolutely incredible in this process. You know, it took us 5 years to write the story. And, you know, it was an emotional roller coaster. And at the end, I was absolutely exhausted. And she took the story and she just said she loves the story. And she basically just said to me, Corinne, you just sit down and I'll do this. And, you know, like I said, I was incredibly exhausted at this point. And she was amazing. She found the threads of the story and she just took control and just allowed me to just, you know, enjoy the process. And I'm just will be eternally grateful for her. And also a big, big thank you to my family and to Ingrid's family. You know, everyone sort of, as I mentioned before, this is a collective story of many, many voices. And, you know, there are many people in this book that really opened themselves up and they were vulnerable. And I know that, you know, Ingrid's, you know, daughter, she hopes that her story will help others who find themselves in a situation like hers. I just want to thank everyone who made this possible, and hopefully it will, like I said before, get a better understanding.
Corinne, this line really isn't great and we're struggling to hear you. So I'm just going to wrap it up by asking you one last thing. You wanted to dedicate a song to the people of Ocean View today. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I'd like to just dedicate a song not only to the residents of Ocean View, but to all the communities throughout the Western Cape that might be struggling with, you know, gangsterism and drugs, and also to the incredible, incredible people out there that are going out of their way to help the animals that are also caught in these difficult times. Thank you.